Peace and blessings, everybody. You're listening to The Good Brother Experience, where it is I, the good brother, the original black man. I am Oh, man. I hiccuped. But fuck a wee ball. I am Reek. What you doing? How you doing? How you been? For starters, drink some water. Secondarily, rate, review, and subscribe to my program. The more you rate me, the more reviews you give me, the more lit I become. Last but not least, if you would like to email me at goodbrotherexperience@yahoo.com. Once again, it is goodbrotherexperience@yahoo.com. All right. So, for starters, the reason why you didn't get an episode last Friday is I hit up said person. I was like, yo, are you able to record this week? The person said no. So I said, all right, nigga, and went on about my week. Ain't not much more to it than that, you understand? So it is my birthday week, you know. This is the day before Valentine's Day, so happy Valentine's Day to all the lovers out there. Happy Valentine's Day. February 14th. Yo, did you know that Andre 3000 made that album in 2 weeks? As the story goes, he went over to L.A. Reid because Big Boy was working on Speaker Box. And I think they were contractually obligated to do one more album, them meaning Outkast. So Andre 3000 goes up to L.A. Reid and he's like, yo, Big Boy sent his album in? He's like, yeah, he got everything done. He's getting the packaging done. He's getting the merchandising done. He's in the middle of actually putting together his music video for the singles that he wants to bring forth. So he was like, yo, when is the due date for the album? And Larry was like, oh, you know, like 2 weeks. 2 weeks is probably when we're going to send it out. And he was like, yo, so if I make this album in 2 weeks, I can be popping? And he was like, yeah, you got any music right now? And another 2000 was like, no, but give me 2 weeks. That nigga made The Love Below in 2 weeks. So Hey Ya and that song I just sang, Happy Valentine's Day and Roses and all them other type of shits. That nigga did that shit in 2 weeks, yo. And I mean, shout out to Andre 3000. And shout out to St. Valentine. You know, I remember I did a history on Valentine's Day, you know, years ago on the show. But all in all, rumor has it that there's a dude named St. Valentine. And what he was doing was he was, I think it was harboring men so they wouldn't have to go to war and marrying them. I think that's what it was. I believe he was illegally marrying men so they wouldn't have to go to war so they can be with their family. That's what I believe was happening off the top of my head without me doing any kind of research. But how's everybody, man? What a Super Bowl. What a pregnancy reveal. And times are sensitive, and I understand that. 100%. I do believe that, you know, the figure of someone's body is their business. And, you know, she's just getting over being pregnant for, you know, 9 to 10 months. And there might be some lingering weight there. So everybody was sensitive to come to the conclusion that she was pregnant. And I'm turning 33 this very week. You know, I'm going to do everything in my power to record one more episode. You know, a birthday episode. I mean, happy birthday to the original. But back to what I was initially saying, I'm about to be 33. Now, I'm not the oldest person, but I'm also not the youngest person. I'm 3 decades in on this planet. And I believe that I have seen every iteration of woman that there is. A successful woman, a poor woman, a fat woman, an in-shape woman, a skinny woman, all types of women, right? Women with fashion sense, women with no fashion sense, bummy women, shining women, spectacular women, miserable women, insecure women, confident women. I've seen every kind of woman that there is. And the reason why I'm saying all of this is if you look at Rihanna's wardrobe that she chose, that red ensemble, there is a V where her gut is to give space to the pregnant stomach. Now, I've been around women with baby weight. I've been around women that are still fat from the baby. I've been around women that are just fat and never had a baby. And they don't they don't provide like a space for their stomach to be free. Like it will be some type of high-waisted situation, some type of spandex, a loose-fitting dress, something along those lines, a crop top. But you won't see like you won't see something that absolves restriction of the stomach, in my opinion. Anytime I've seen a woman that has, you know, come back from baby weight, you know, the jeans get bigger, the cargos get bigger, the sweatpants, you know, different types of dresses, different types of biker shorts, you know, just things of that nature, just as the skin is starting to come back to where it needs to be and everything's starting to tighten up and get into where you once was. Having something around your stomach isn't forbidden if you just still have baby weight. But something is... it is problematic to have something around your stomach if you are carrying a baby. So when the Associated Press released that tweet that Rihanna's representation confirmed that she was pregnant, I was like, I knew it. Only because of the ensemble. Well, it wasn't because of her weight or her face, or some people were referring to that as a lackluster performance, where I don't agree. I believe that that performance was engaging. I believe that it was shot very well. And vocally, I think that's the best that she's ever sounded, which gives me a glimmer of hope that music is on the way, because her voice is as pristine and as sharp as it's ever been. And there would, I'm not a professional singer or entertainer in any capacity, but I didn't hear lyrics in the background. So that was her live voice on that microphone, and the way she was projecting and how crisp and how sharp she was singing her lyrics, and the tone and the pitch that she was doing so, I believe that she was incredible. But ASAP Rocky deserves Man of the Year. Is that Time Magazine? Because you got to understand ASAP Rocky. This nigga was dating white women 10 years ago when Pesos and all that type of shit, when he was tapped in with Iggy Azalea and all that. You know, Harlem nigga that was wearing just cool clothes, cool grills, came out with the ASAP movement, doing his thing. And you know, you have all these conversations on the internet arising like, yo, I want to meet a man where I am, and if he can't match me financially, then we'll never work. Or if he can't provide a certain lifestyle for me, then he has no use in my life. I will never take a man seriously unless he can provide some type of security. And, you know, you see Rihanna, and there's pictures of her with fucking Saudi Arabian princes and everything like that. And ASAP Rocky, with his fronts, his loose-fitting clothes, his cornrows, and his very abstract way of showcasing his talent via hip-hop. You know, he has like a very abstract approach, I would say. All these things in conjunction, he got Rihanna, a billionaire, just to like him for who he is. Because what other reason would Rihanna date ASAP Rocky? She dated the person that she wants to date. It's about companionship. When the security is put aside and the money's put aside and all that other shit that's on paper aside, do you like the person in front of you? And it's crazy when you hear the conversations that women say, like, oh, I don't see why she would date him. But these are usually coming from women that also have no man. Like, when it's all, I'm sorry, I'm speaking in broken sentences. When you put into consideration what companionship is and what a relationship is, do you like the person in front of you? Because that's the only foundation that matters. Niggas can lose a job. Niggas can develop a habit. Or the IRS can come through. Do you like who you are with? And I believe that ASAP Rocky and Rihanna are a shining example of that. They stay out the way. They support each other. They're around the same age. Rihanna is a fucking trillionaire. ASAP Rocky's a cool dude, model. He's not broke in the slightest. Respected hip-hop dude, respected rapper, model, clothing designer. He's probably a stylist. And Rihanna was like, yo, I love you. And ASAP was like, yo, I love you. And they're having their second child. And that is not why he should get Man of the Year. He should get Man of the Year because he seated Rihanna twice. He's doing the very same thing every single dude on this planet would do. If I wife up Rihanna, you are getting pregnant. I am not wasting this opportunity. Fuck was you talking about? Oh, you about to give me some ass? You? Me? Like, just imagine how much of a king you gotta feel when you're putting your dick in Rihanna's mouth, son. What is, or even when you're eating Rihanna out. You are eating out Rihanna, son. You are getting top from Rihanna. Like, this is happening. You seated up Rihanna 2 times. Like, son, it was a different situation with Jay-Z and Beyonce, because Beyonce is the greatest, arguably the greatest singer, arguably the greatest performer. Jay-Z is undeniably the best rapper, savvy the businessman. This all made sense. Jay-Z was older than Beyonce, so he was able to put her under the wing. Like, yo, listen, you on some young shit, I'm on some older shit. Now, I mean, fuck with your boy, I'm gonna get you in motion. A$AP Rihanna, like, the fucking same age. They are in very similar spaces in their life. And he was like, oh, you about to give me some poontang? Yeah, this shit is over with. Your dating life is over. Don't worry about that. You are not dating a nigga ever again. That's a fact. You are mine, goddammit. So this is why A$AP Rocky deserves Man of the Year. Shout out to the Chiefs. You know, winning their second Super Bowl. You know, it's pretty dope watching people come to a common goal and achieve that goal. That's something that I look to do in my life. So, you know, whenever I see any type of championship, anything, I low-key want to start tearing. Like, I never do, but I always want to start tearing, because that feeling of completion, of getting the mission accomplished, that's something that's euphoric. And that's something that I'm looking to do with my birthday, you know. And not just my birthday, but just with my life in general. You know, having tunnel vision and knowing that you have to grind to get what you want, and it's not just going to come to you. You know, there's a certain level of work and ethic that you need to put forth in order to achieve what you want to achieve. And that's not something that I've ever had before. But for whatever reason, this job gave me hope. You know, the sky doesn't appear to be falling. And what I mean by that is everything is centered around perspective, for real. If you give a person a dollar that has no money in their pocket, they could be like, yo, good looking, you'd have to give me this dollar. I can make this dollar shake. I can get like a dollar slice. I can get a bottle of water. You know, I can, you know, get 4 quarters and do what I got to do. I could break it up, get some chips or something. Or you can have somebody else be like, yo, you're just giving me a dollar. Don't you have $30? Why can't I have 10? Like, it's all about perspective. And with me, I have this understanding that nobody has to give me anything. Nobody should give me anything. Everybody has their own problems. I'm looking to make something of myself in the creative realm, in the physicality realm, because I'm taking my health more seriously. In the entertainment realm, in all realms of human endeavor, I am looking to upgrade my circumstance. So having this job to keep me financially afloat gives me motivation to keep going. Because, you know, I mean, y'all been listening to my show for a little while. I was detesting having like a legitimate job working for the white man. But with this job in particular, it gave me the perspective of like, yo, if I grind here, I can parlay this work ethic to other realms of my life. Because the one Achilles heel that I have is discipline. I have focus. I have drive. I can get tunnel vision. I'm extremely motivated. But I'm not the strongest in having discipline, because I've really never had to have discipline in order to get what I wanted. And, you know, after doing some personal work, it's become evident that discipline is the key to get whatever you want. Pushing through discomfort, because being broke is a state of comfort, no matter what nobody says to you. But you can get Section 8, you can get food stamps. You can kind of finesse being broke and have like a pretty suitable lifestyle, for real. If you make under $30,000, you're not making no kid, and you don't have no kids, you can find an apartment. You just hear me out. They're like, yeah, what apartment you about to find? Just hear me out. You can apply for Section 8 housing. Might take a little while. You can get some money from the government. whether it's unemployment or food stamps or, you know, SNAP with the cash and all that. You know, you can just have a minimalist lifestyle, have a okay car, have okay clothes, be able to eat, and just do your thing. Go to the bar maybe once a week. But now when you're striving to make six figures, when you're striving to make seven figures, eight figures, when you're striving to be famous, when you're striving to upgrade your circumstances, that requires discomfort and not knowing how this is going to turn out. But you just have that unwavering confidence in yourself that it's going to work out because I've put in the work for it to work out. And that's the one thing and the key component that I believe that I was missing all this time. Having the undeniable belief that this is going to work out because I'm putting the work. As opposed to, oh, I'll figure it out. No, this, it always works out. I'm fucking Tariq. Like, everything I got. But look at what I got. This is not something that I'm personally happy with. But, you know, I speak to my friends and, you know, everybody's on the same page. But having that killer mentality of like, no, at all costs, I will change my life. That's something that is relatively new to me. And this is going to come out today. But I just wanted to share something with you guys for the people that listen. I mean, maybe I'll have 50 listeners. Maybe I'll have 50,000. Maybe I'll have 500 million. Who knows? But I want to share with you guys a mentality that I have in regards to my birthday and how this can permeate through other aspects of my life. So it was a plan that, yo, we was going to go to Charlotte, right? Head to Charlotte, do our own thing. You know, a whole bunch of the squad was going. We was going to go out there, have amazing fun. You know, all type of shit is going down. Airbnbs, flights, rentals, looking up spots, high fives, group chats, all kind of shit, right? As the days grew closer, one person drops out. Two people drop out. Three people drop out. Four people drop out. Five people drop out. I'm not making this up. Six people drop out. Seven people drop out. Other two people like, yo, one person like, yo, do you have anything finalized? Oh, all those people dropped out. So how are we going to stay in this crib? Are you sure you want to do this? Another person's like, yo, I have work and I'm not going to be able to get off that day. So I have to come later. But are you sure? Because if you don't want to, we can just do something closer. And before this idea of going to Charlotte for my birthday, actually, was coming together, you know, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine. And, you know, we were speaking back and forth. And it was brought to my attention, like, yo, you never do nothing for your birthday. And you shouldn't take no for an answer. So I'm like, okay, I like that. Are you sure? Because, you know, not for nothing. It's just my birthday. I can just bring people together. Something local, just have everybody pull up, we can all drink and be merry. But I do that all the time. And that's how I view myself. I view myself as somebody like, oh, my birthday doesn't really matter like that. All I gotta do is just do something that's convenient for other people. Why do I have that attitude on my birthday? Why would I have that attitude? Is it insecurities on my behalf? Is it lack of confidence on my behalf? I don't view myself in a serious manner. So I'm watching all these people drop out. And then, you know, it's like, okay, but my birthday trip will be canceled or compromised or whatever. But I'm tired of dealing with that. I'm tired of looking to other people to bring things that I want to have happen into fruition and then blaming them if they fall short. Nobody else is going to view something with the same seriousness as I do. So if I just allow people to destroy my dreams or my goals or my plans, what does that say about me as a person? In my opinion, that says that I'm weak-minded. That means that I'm feeble. That means that I'm malleable. And I can just conform to whatever reality that people can change, that people can dictate for me at the snap of a finger. Hey, yo, get super excited. It's lit. We're coming. We're going to celebrate you. Then everybody's like, you know what? No, we're not. I got this going on. I got that going on. I'm not going to be able to make this. Yo, bro, I just needed more time. Yo, I didn't expect for this to happen. This, that, and third. So that just leaves me as, oh, okay, no, that's cool. Everybody who cares about me, yeah, just, yeah, no problem. Just, yeah. No, not at all. The show must go on. I cannot limit myself because other people are placing limitations on me. If we agree to go to a trip and everybody backs out, that is people putting their limitations on me. That's them putting their boundaries on me. That's putting their expectations on me. And I'm not having it. In no realm of human endeavor am I fucking having it. In my fitness, in my finances, in my love life, in my social life, in my career, my birthday, anything. I'm not fucking taking no for an answer. In nothing. If I put a plan together, I'm not negotiating that plan. I'm going to be successful and I'm going to be happy with or without you. Either you can be on the side of me or you can applaud me as you watch it happen. That is the mentality I have to have. I don't give a fuck about finances. I don't give a fuck about how much it might break me. I don't care. This is a test in resilience. I'll share a story with you. When I was 15, I got into a disagreement with a guy. You know, we had a disagreement in the lunchroom, throwing food at one another. And I go back to my block, and at this point in time, I dislocated my left tibia. And I'm walking around with a knee brace, and because I was so poor, my mom didn't have a car. It was only me and her. So I was still a walker, so I had to walk with my crutches in my hand back and forth to high school with no ride, no matter what the weather was. There was no cabs. There was no Uber. There was nobody coming to fucking save me. It was just a knee brace that my mom got a favor from a physician, gave me this knee brace, these crutches, and I had no physical therapy, no nothing. As is all happening, you know, maybe this is a sign of weakness from how other people viewed me, but, you know, there was some bully-like tactics happening, and I wasn't having it. You know, food is thrown in the lunchroom. Get back to my block. Then my attention that this person wants to fight me. So I take off my knee brace. I throw my crutches down. I brace myself with some type of wrap that I had in the house. I just tried to brace my tibia as tight as I could. And I went outside and I fought this person. I had no mobility. I just was like, yo, if I don't fight this man, then we're going to get out. Like, yo, we can do whatever to Tariq. So I fought that man on one leg. This is who I am. I am a fucking warrior. You can ask any of my friends, anybody who's close to me. There has never been a situation where I've been in the face of confrontation and I folded. Ever. And I just have to take that same mentality with other things that I'm doing. Just accepting limitations is not what I'm doing. Doing things to appease other people is not what I'm doing. Because me doing that will have me in the same situation I'm in now. Unhappy and feeling like the sky is falling and not treating myself to the sweets that life has to offer. So I'm still going to have a great time in Charlotte without niggas. You know what I mean? And I just have to have this mentality. When it's their birthday, as opposed to me killing myself or as opposed to me putting money aside or doing what I want to do, if I don't want to do it, I'm just not doing it. The friendship goes on. And this is a lesson to me. Because I feel like things like this break friendships. You can have a 50-year rapport with somebody, and the moment that they don't do what you want them to do, that's an indictment on their character. Yo, how could you? This is my birthday. How you just going to leave me high and dry? And then all types of awkwardness and tension is going to happen. Nah, I'm not like that. I mean, I'm a grown man, and I'm more of an evolved person than that, than to take you not wanting to sacrifice my birthday as an indictment on your character. We all have birthdays. We all have lives. We all have bills. So with that, I just have to adopt this mentality. I'm going to do this without anybody. And I'll make friends along the way. I'll build relationships along the way. I will have fun in a very internal kind of way, because that is the only way I'm going to be able to do things. When I want to go travel to places, when I want to see new shit, when I want to eat new things, when I want to drive new things, nobody's going to come with me. Nobody. They can say they want to come with you. Like, oh, nah, that's dope, yo. But that's not life. You know, when my mom died, all my friends chipped in together and bought me that. There's a chain with me and my mom's face on it. My friends put their money together and bought me that chain. That chain is a symbol of my nobility and my honor and my character amongst my friends. They thought high enough about me for when my mom passed away to give me something that I will have until I'm dead, that I'm going to wear in the grave. And that's a picture of me and my mother. So my friends, because they can't make a birthday trip, aren't less of my friends. Our rapport doesn't change. I just have to shift my thinking. As opposed to doing things to appease other people, I need to do what makes me happy. I need to do what I deem as important. And I have to do the work in order to make those dreams into a reality. So yeah, you know, Valentine's Day is tomorrow. My birthday is 3 days later. It's a very powerful week for me. And with this renewed sense of how I want to live my life, I will not be stopped by whoever I'm dating. I won't be stopped with whoever I'm friends with. I cannot be fucking stopped at all. You know, that just anything that I'm doing that involves growth can't be stymied by outside sources. I have to be more strong-willed than that. I have to be. You know, it's the people with the strongest will that pretty much get what they want. And it's feeble people that'll allow other people's boundaries be placed on them in order for them to conform. And I'm not living my life under the lens of conformity. You know, and I might sound hypocritical because I now have a job that requires me to conform, but that's just the way I'm being paid right now, because you need to make money to stay alive. So I did that as a survival tactic. But as far as my vision, shit is going to happen for me. And it's starting with this birthday trip. So yeah, I'm headed down to Charlotte. I'm going to be doing my own thing, chilling, you know what I mean, taking in some sun, taking in some drinks. I was told there's some fantastic barbecues and the eateries down there are exceptional. So that's what I'm doing, man. Oh, before I get out of here, we had this fun date last week. That was popping. It was dope. Shout out to Reem and people in the Dysfunctional Date family. You know, I'm an improvisational comedian, and I was paid. I'm a paid improvisational comedian. That happened. And I did that on a whim. Like, I just feel like I can do this. Same thing with this podcast. I just feel like I can do this. And I will be paid for this as well. I'm going to be paid for everything. And that's why I need to really get my health in order and my physique in order, because I need to be the symbol of strength and relentless work ethic. That's the only way that is going to happen. So, I mean, by the time that y'all see me, a lot of y'all will not see me until it gets hot outside. I'll be outside more and more social. And when you see me and you see my physique and you see I don't have my face isn't as puffy, and you see my arms more defined and my stomach and my legs are more defined, and I'm standing with a certain stature, and because I'm making money, I can now wear the clothes that I want, not just the clothes that I can afford. Everything is going to come to light. And this is why I'm saying these things on this podcast, and this is why I'm so vulnerable, so y'all can see what the fuck is going on in real time. I'm not going to posture like I'm this put together cool man. That's not what the show is about. The show is about growth, and I'm going to grow. And it didn't start at New Year's for me. It started at my birthday, which is on the 17th. So yes, no more days of being broke, No more days of being broke in. No more days of being confused. No more days of being in the dark. No more days of being subject to the things that people want to put me to or place me under or, you know, the box that people want to put me in. I'm not living like that. And nobody can fucking make me. Peace and blessings. Pass the dressing. My Cash App is going to be in my bio again. Help fund this birthday trip. Gotta control the controllables, baby. You feel me? The Cash App will be in my bio. I love all of you. And I'm going to hold myself accountable. You will hear another episode from me this week. I love you guys, and I'll speak to you soon.